What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Man, we really
are we ready is the question.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I've been kind of dreading this recording.
What's so funny about this is James isn't here right now because he's late.
Super late.
So, like, that's made me really mad.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, remembering how I felt, like, watching the movie.
Oh, so now you're...
So now I feel like I just watched the movie just, like, 3 seconds.
You got to mix some emotions. I get it.
Because the lateness of James has stirred something up in me, and now I'm like, I'm feeling it.
I mean, like, no, I get it. James made us, like, you know, schedule earlier and then got here an hour later when he will get here.
He tried to push it back.
Yeah. Because I thought I was going to be
late. You thought you were going to be late.
And I was like 10 minutes late.
But I'd much rather be talking about lateness right now because people have to be prepared.
Yeah, because this is the thing, man. Like, when I saw this movie, we saw it the same day, mm-hmm. separately, same times. I was so physically drained mm-hmm. from watching this movie that it felt like a horror movie. Right. I felt worked. I felt tired.
And we usually don't talk about the movie in the cold open, but we're doing it because I think we have to emotionally prepare our listeners.
Yeah, man, I'm not.
They got to be ready.
And this is going to be a rough one. I'm trying to think of how we're going to add jokes in this.
That will be very hard.
Where's the joke? Maybe we can find something funny somewhere. there were a couple of things I think was cute and fun, but also
moments that we could talk about.
I just am very, the thing that's made me really mad about even discussing this movie mm-hmm. is that, like the movie, mm-hmm. We already know the outcome of the movie, also what happens to one of the characters, but also the main plot of what the main character needs to do in the end. We knew, like, in my mind, I knew what the court was going to do, you know?
Right, right.
I knew what was going to happen. We've seen it.
It's like spoilers, but, like, we already know.
Yeah, society has told me. The mere fact that there's been two indictments, like, almost in the last 5 or 6 years.
No.
They weren't even indictments.
No, you're talking about convictions.
Two convictions.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I'll take those. But this is my point, though. Mm-hmm. My thing is, when I watch this movie, I know that Hollywood will not respect it.
I don't say that yet.
The thing is, the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, something about it. The thing is, there's got to be some hope. No, let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why, man.
Because before that, Timothy Chalamet, what's his name? Timothy, what's the kid's name from Beautiful Boy?
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet. Before his movie even came out, people were like, oh my God, his next movie is going to be crazy. It's going to be great.
Okay.
Motherfuckers ain't seen the trailer yet. Okay?
Yeah.
People are like, Oscar.
Yeah, he had buzz.
Buzz. Listen, I love him. I loved Call Me By My mm-hmm. Name. Call Me By Your Name. Okay. But this is what I'm saying is this, we don't have the same amount of
character. I understand.
I'm talking about actor buzz, John.
I know, man. I'm just trying to say, you know, before the hate you give, let's let some hope arise.
What?
Before the hate you give, the Oscars comes, like, let's let some hope.
Why do you always say it twice? Why do I have to hear that twice?
No, because you said what and that, so I was just repeating myself, you know, because the hate you give, okay, the Oscars is,
I knew he was doing it.
It's a lot, you know, the hate you give is intense.
All right, you know what?
The hate you get.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is? Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City. James don't get his sign
That's
off.
That's right.
Because he late.
No gunshots.
Nothing. No. Oh, man. This would have been a really good. Actually, no. Maybe we. That no, was that was faded that we didn't have
That's
to
right.
hear that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God organized.
Yeah, God was
no,
like.
No gunshots.
Yeah, God was like, not today. Not for this one.
For those of you listening for the first time, welcome.
Where you been?
Where have you been? That is a good question, but also welcome.
I mean, yeah, but where you been?
Okay, so this calm, rational voice you're listening to right now is Jonathan Braylock.
This passionate, fun-loving voice is Dry Milligan.
Fun-loving. again, James
And James Third is late. I feel like I want to shade him, but I'm just disappointed.
We have shaded him.
Has it been enough shade?
No, when he gets here, we'll shade him even more.
I mean, the thing is...
It's disrespectful to this movie.
Honestly, I just feel disappointed.
It is, you're right. It's just disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I don't even want to shade him. It's like when you expect more. It's like when you go and like, oh man, your auntie's going to make your favorite. She's making mac and cheese. It's going to be great. But then she like tried a different recipe and you're like, I came here for this. Like, why'd you get my hopes up? Like, I thought I changed my schedule for you.
Right.
In the mac and cheese. But now you only got two cheeses.
It's disappointing.
You put breadcrumbs on top?
I expected better.
Mm.
But for those of you listening for the first time, we are a film review podcast.
Yep.
We review films with leading Black actors.
True.
We talk about them in the context of race.
I see what you're talking about.
And diversity in Hollywood.
What? Mm-hmm. That's not a thing.
It is.
Oh,
it
snap.
Is. And today we are reviewing the film The Hate U Give.
Oh, guys.
Thug. Starring... Amandla Stenberg, I want to say.
Steinberg? Oh, no, you're
it's
right.
With
Stenberg.
An e,
Stenberg.
So right. I don't know. Stenberg. Directed by George Tillman Jr.
Regina Hall.
Regina Hall is in it.
Shout outs.
Wait, is it Regina? Yeah, Regina Hall.
Regina Hall.
I always get.
Regina King and Regina Hall. Yep.
It's because they have the same
yep.
first name.
Every time. Every time. And it's not enough for Regina's.
And they're both amazing actresses.
Yep, and there's not enough Regina's in them. I love when Regina Hall does drama because like she does both comedy and drama right. so well. And what's the guy's name from Lincoln Heights? Russell Hornsby?
That sounds right. I don't know. I don't have it pulled up.
That's him. Russell Hornsby. He man, this movie was so good. Oh, let me not forget Anthony Mackie, Issa Rae, Common.
Don't say his name like that.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, the thing
we'll
is,
talk about.
I need to stop hating on Common. Like, yeah. I bet you Common being in movies helps movies get made. But when I see Common in movies, I'm like, what's up, Common? You know, like, it's cool.
he stays in everything.
Everything.
He's in so many.
My goodness.
This movie, do you know what it has on Rotten Tomatoes? Because I do.
It better be 99.
It's 97.
Okay. Hey, that shit go below 95. We got a fucking issue. Like, I'm legit about to be petty. Hey, bro, what's wrong with it?
It's 97%.
Who are the people who said they didn't like it?
There are somebody.
People be doing shit just to be petty.
So it hasn't been... Oh, sorry. By the time this podcast comes out, it will have been wide released.
So you better have saw it.
So you should go see it for sure. It has been wide released as of this recording. As of this recording, it's made $2.8 million, but it's only open in, like, I think here in New York and L.A., limited release. So it was like open for 2 weeks limited release before the wide release, which I think is actually a smart game plan, because I'll be honest, the first time I saw the trailer for this movie, I was like, oh God.
Mm.
And not because I didn't, because I didn't hear about the book.
See, I knew about the book.
But it was like, it's very clearly like it's like a YA novel, right? Mm. That the book was a YA novel, and it's very, and like the trailer was targeted for young adults. And so I was watching it going like, oh, it's like a coming of age story about us, like a, you know, unarmed Black man getting shot. Like, do I really want to see that? Like, is that really what we're doing now? You know?
I mean, it's tough because I always wanted
that's
to
what
see.
I thought when I saw the trailer.
Okay. But I mean,
but I think
if we didn't record, if we didn't push to record it for this podcast, would you have watched it? Do you think?
If we didn't do this podcast, here's the thing. I probably wouldn't have watched it until a bunch of people said, you have to go see it. And then I would be like, really? And then I would have went to see it. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I think I'm predicting it's going to have a good box office weekend.
What do you think about the trailer? Because I heard people say that. And I think for me, the only reason I really wanted to see it at first was because of Amandala. And I've been following her, which I know we'll talk about her more deeply. But it's something very fascinating about her is that when she was in Hunger Games, she was one of the first young black actresses to talk about the value of being a young black girl. So like, I know mm-hmm. we have Zendaya, we have Yara, we got Issa out now, mm-hmm. but like that girl was like,
that's very kind of you to put Issa.
Oh, well, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like what I'm saying, like Issa is like, you know, I see what you're saying.
I mean, no, she's young.
Young actress, you know.
Sorry,
what I mean?
that was no disrespect to Issa, but.
But I know I had kids at first.
Right.
But what I'm saying is like, she was a child talking right. about that stuff.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A child. And I'm like, it's something interesting because what people don't realize is that when she was in Hunger Games, that girl was getting death threats.
Right.
You know, because people didn't think Rue should be brown, even though her skin is described in the goddamn book.
Right. So I guess let's just talk about her for a little bit before we talk about the movie, because her, you know, she was Rue in the Hunger Games.
Yep.
And yeah, she got it was dumb. I mean, but that's always happening, right? Even though I think she is dark skin, like,
she's brown.
She is dark skin in the book.
In the
book,
I
don't know. But those are, that to me, it's just trolls. That's just trolls. And yep. then people highlighting trolls, which I kind of hate. I kind of like the whole, you know, Star Wars thing. That was like,
what can you do?
It was just like, we're just giving more fodder to them by paying attention to them.
100%.
But Rue, the role of Rue, while impactful in the book, to me in the movie, wasn't as strong.
Because they had Jennifer Lawrence in that.
And
thing.
She wasn't. And she, so like her role was like, it was like cool, but it was forgettable.
I mean, because they didn't give her, they didn't give Rue, I feel like they didn't focus on the Rue and what's her name in the movie? Whatever Jennifer Lawrence character's
right.
name was.
Katniss,
like it was in the book. Like in the book,
exactly.
when Rue dies, it's like, it's a big goddamn deal.
It's a big deal. And in the movie, it was like, it just felt like inevitable.
You just killed the kid. Like to me, like she was the only one who looked like a child.
Right.
Which is the whole point of her. But Amandala's been out here.
But she's been doing a lot. So since then, she was in.
Well, she had another YA comp. She had another YA book.
Right,
Everything.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, yeah,
and I think, and that did like pretty well, especially for YA.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Darkest Minds, she was just in this year, which we didn't review, even though we were thinking about reviewing it. We also were thinking about reviewing Everything.
Yeah,
and we haven't reviewed. So we haven't reviewed her yet. But she starred in both of those films. But The Darkest Minds did like very poorly.
Yeah.
It was YA, like, you know, mutant sci-fi, powers.
Yeah.
It looked like the X-Men, but it wasn't the X-Men.
It's tough because this review is going to be hard because one of the content, but also this is probably one of the first times of like, you know how people say when you vote for an Oscar or actor an Oscar, you like the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you will give a lot of leeway. Like, I thought she was great, but she is a person who I've heard about for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's written things as what, a 12-year-old? Just about what is it like to be a girl with like curly and like frizzy hair? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and she did that again, like, and it's not that I'm shading everybody else, but she did it before it was popular. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
She did it on the come up. That's the wild part about it, is that that's like just getting your first big thing and being like, you know what? I just love being whatever. I mean, she just came out like this year, I think.
Right.
I mean, there's so much respect I have for this girl, it's insane.
And so the other thing I want to talk about before the movie is there was like a slight controversy.
Oh, with the actor?
Right. So I guess the actor was Keon Lawley.
A little YouTuber.
And he was fired from the film and they had to replace him with KJ Apa due to a video that came out where he was using like racial slurs.
Yep. So basically the token white dude who's supposed to be a nice guy happened to be racist in real life. That's just wild. Like, could you imagine? Like, that's a wild. Like, literally, you're casting the movie as like a savior type,
right?
But then,
and his character, and I mean, we'll talk about it, but like that character was like definitely the trickiest of all the characters.
I have a problem with that character, but this is the thing: is I don't know how I feel about this movie in one way, and I know we'll get to it just because I just want to talk about rest in peace. The writer of this movie, what is her name?
Andre something, right?
Yeah, hold on. Because basically the thing is, like, the writer, you know, she passed away right before the movie came out. But the thing about the writer of
Angie,
this movie,
Audrey Wells.
And the thing about Audrey Wells is a white woman. So it's something interesting to have a movie set. I think the film was shot in Atlanta, but to have a film set like with focuses on a black family knit very well, like she did such a good job, you know what I mean? Which mm-hmm. I thought was very interesting. But it was something about Archie that I didn't like. Because it's something about Archie, because you know what it was?
The fact Wait, is that actor also plays Archie in Riverdale?
Because his hair isn't actually red in real life. They dye it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why. I watched this interview about how he got that job. But it's so interesting because when I see him in the movie, it reminds me of Hidden Figures, where it's like they just needed, the whole point of adding that guy was to show like a white dude do something right, where I'm like, totally, like, I get it, but something about
that. I disagree,
that,
but we'll talk about it.
All right, cool. Because something about that, it edged me. It was probably one of the only things I didn't like about the movie.
Right. Okay, and then the other thing to say, do we have to say anything else? No, I mean, so yeah, that's pretty much it. That's kind of what it is. We're going to do spoilers, so if you haven't seen it, you know.
Go see it.
But you can listen to it. Again, I don't really think the plot is that's. I mean, honestly, most of the plot is in the trailer anyway. So, initial thoughts.
Ooh, let me correct myself. So, the book was written by Angie Thomas, like he said, but the screenplay was adapted by Audrey Wells, who's the woman who passed away.
Right.
I'll go first. I went back and forth with this movie because, again, I wanted to watch it. But then once I found out what it was about, I didn't want to. Because the thing is, I think we are going through that phase in Hollywood where, you know, we went through slavery movies, slavery TV shows, slavery documentaries, slavery miniseries. Mm-hmm. And now I do think we're on the next wave, which is police brutality, which is hard because with slavery movies, slavery's in the past. So it's like, I get it, you know, I can watch a Roots documentary, I can watch Underground, I can watch, you know, 12 Years a Slave, but when it comes to these police brutality movies, mm-hmm. it's happening right now, so it's almost not entertainment for me, because if I watch the news, I'm going to hear about it on the news. You know what I mean? Like, it is sad, but we always talk about it. Every few months, there is a new name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Every few months. So much so that, like, I was thinking about, do I even list them all? And I'm like, if we're talking about the last 4 or 5 years, we're talking about close to, I mean, the ones people heard, maybe 20. The ones you haven't heard, well over 100. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what police, you know what I mean? That's police. So watching this movie is really hard because it's hard watching something where it's fictionalized black bodies dying and then to watch real life TV and in real life black bodies are dying and nothing is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, we're living in a world now where it's very interesting where, like, this dad is a Black Panther, but I bet you to most of society, people think Black Panthers were bad. I know we talk about it on this podcast, but for most of society, they think Black Panthers were bad. Mm-hmm. But again, and I will say it every time I bring up Black Panthers never openly attacked or killed anyone throughout the reign of the Black Panthers. Correct. The KKK has killed Black people on the street, mm-hmm. and they still exist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Still. Mm-hmm. Many people, you know? And so when I watch this movie, it's just tough because as I'm watching it, I knew the ending of the movie. Mm-hmm. Cause I see the ending every day. Every day we know the end. We watched Straight Outta Compton, right? And they talked about them watching Rodney King. Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that in that movie and at that time, people were like, yo, we got him on tape. We can see him. Mm-hmm. We can see him. We got him. And legit, nothing happened in 1992. I'm living in a world where I'm looking at Colin Kaepernick and anybody else who's black or even a white ally who kneels, our president is saying, calling them assholes, bastards, and to fire. Mm-hmm. So it was. This movie was great, but it was hard to enjoy it. It was very hard to watch. I wanted it to end, like, legit. I was like, we'll get there. But there was literally a point in the movie where I was like, I can't do this part. Like, it just, all right. But yeah, I liked it a lot. People should see it, 100%.
Okay, so. I've been thinking a lot about how I was going to talk about initial thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And Keisha asked me the other night. Keisha's our friend who's on an astronomy club. Used to be a writer for The Opposition, Jordan Klepper. She said, if you had to give a one-word review, what would you say?
Oh.
And I said, gut punch.
Oh, true.
Now, here's what I'll say. This is what I'll say. I'll just talk about how I felt watch it throughout the beginning. Again, I walked into this film thinking, okay, it's going to be good, but like, I know what's going to happen, like you said. It's a YA thing. YA stuff tends to be somewhat predictable, a little bit, sometimes a little bit preachy, a little bit, you know, it's like, it's hard to put your finger on it, but it's like, it doesn't feel real.
Yeah. It feels fictionalized. It's pretty.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was my thought going into it. I started to watch it. First thing right off the bat, holy crap, Amandla is one of the best actresses I've ever seen.
100%.
I've ever seen. And I really want people to hear that because, and I told Gerard this the other day, Amandla was so good that it made me rethink how I talked about other good actors in the past. And I was like, oh, it feels diluted to say that she was good because I've said that about people who can't touch her. Mm. She was so good, such a star. Like, I mean, but like legit, like she was both a movie star. Like she had just a presence on screen that you were like, whoa, who's this person? You know what I mean? She was giving you it's such a tired thing now to do. I'm black in my black neighborhood and I'm white in my white, you know, like, and she's licensed. She's mixed probably like mm-hmm. I am. And it's like, it's a joke that I've been talking about. It's like, it's a joke that Key and Peele did. Like it's been around this idea of the code switching mm-hmm. and doing that. Right. And they bring it up. And she even says like, I don't know if she uses the word code switching, but she basically is saying that in the beginning, like I have to act this way here and this way there. But when she did it, it felt so organic and so real, even though it's such a repeated and, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a unique thing anymore.
Because she had pain in her face every time she switched. It was great.
And she was, when she switched, I believed her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It went like, because sometimes people switch and it's like, you have that Key and Peele thing in your head where they're like, what's up, dog? And like, we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Keanu on this podcast, but one of the reasons we didn't talk about it is because we didn't know how to talk about it because it felt weird them being black because it felt like they were acting black, but when she is quote unquote acting black, it feels organic and it doesn't end. But you could see like she's not fully these other people
because she's not playing into the stereotype of what people think hood people are.
Right,
like people think hood people are like her best friend. A little bit more ratchet, a little bit more loud. Or like, just because you're from the hood, don't mean...
You have to be full ratchet.
Yeah, like, she still liked the same shit they did. She still liked the same music. She still liked Jordan.
Still used the same kind of...
Yeah, the vernacular. Like
vernacular,
she was
still
around the way. She just wasn't perpetuating the stereotype that we only see.
Exactly. Also, credit to the screenwriter and the director.
And the director. Apparently, I was reading, like, he definitely was, like, heavy hand in, like, making sure that things were authentic.
Okay, so now this is what I'll say next. Mm. I'm sorry this was long, but, like, this is exactly how I felt. So that was the first thing I noticed. The next thing I noticed was, oh, my God, this director is fire. And he directed Soul Food, which is a film we talked about on this podcast. Great, great film. And here's the thing that I love that he did the book. I mean, more than the cinematography, the movement of the cameras and the color palette and all that stuff. He let scenes linger.
Yes, he let it sit.
Literally there was one scene where, I know what it was. It was the scene where she is confronting her white friend when they were playing video games and then her white like girlfriend was like, what's up? Like, what's up with you? And then they have this fight and she says this thing and she says that thing and the girl leaves. Most directors, most editors, like they cut there because the scene is over. But instead, she leaves, the door closes, we're with Amandla, she goes back to the couch, she sits down, her other friend's looking like, well, this is awkward, and they just sit in it for an extra 30 to 40 seconds because it made it feel real and not contrived.
Yep.
It's so easy to make this film feel contrived. It's so hard to not make it that, because they talked about every single issue relating to,
which was so crazy.
And it's crazy because none of it felt forced.
Yeah.
It blew me away. I was like, I don't understand how, literally in my mind, I was thinking, I was picking apart things while I was watching this film. I was like, this is cool, but I wish they would show a little bit more about the boyfriend, because I want to know. Oh, and then we got that scene. Well, they got to wrap up some. I mean, what's going to happen with this girl? Oh, and then they would do that scene. Well, what about, how does the mom feel about? Oh, and then they would touch on that. Well, but now how does the dad? Oh, they would touch on that. Well, how does the dad relate to the brother? Oh, they touch on that. They hit everything, but none of it, it didn't feel like stretched out. It didn't feel like, you know, a lot of times, like, some of these films can feel pretentious, or they feel like they're extra. It's like, you could tell the director is just adding more stuff than they really need to. And you're like, pull back, calm down. We don't need all of this. Mm. But this didn't feel like that at all. The acting overall was so on point, like, with everybody. And the last thing I'll say is this, to your point about this is the time where, like, we're doing, like, we have a lot of films and about, you know, black shootings. And I was thinking, and that's one of the reasons I didn't want to watch this movie at first, because I was like, I felt the same way. And then I thought about this year. Guys, Black Panther came out this year.
Mm-hmm. February. Black History Month, bro.
Black Panther came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like ages ago. Yeah. Because, you know why, though? Because we've had so many black-led films that were good. We've had Black Panther. We've had Blindspotting. We've had Black Klansman. We've had Sorry to Bother You. We have this movie. We had, and then we have our comedies. You have Night School. You got Uncle Drew. We had like three Dwayne The Rock Johnson films.
This is the most we've ever reviewed movies in theaters. Ever.
We didn't review some. There were movies like Kin and The Darkest Minds that we were just like, they bombed at the box office. We had black-led movies bomb, and it didn't matter because there were so many more black-led films that we could review and pick and choose which ones we wanted to do. And then I thought about this, and I was like, Blindspotting, Black Klansman, these are movies that were heavy. And I was watching Darkest Minds, and I was like, you know what? America needs to be beaten over the head with this message. We just do. Because until you keep beating people over the head with it, they're not going to get it. This is what it takes. It takes this much. It takes oversaturation for it to really sink in. Because what happens is the people who kind of got it, who are like, oh yeah, they start to really get it. They start feeling the need to tell other people, their friends, their family members. Their family members hear that, and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing. Even the people who will argue against it or push back, or who are on Blue Lives Matter and all of that stuff, inevitably, it's in the back of their minds, no matter what. Even if they say that they don't believe in it, it's affecting them. And how do I know? Because we do have convictions now. And I truly don't think that the convictions would have ever come if all of the movement from Black Lives Matter, all of the protesting, and now all of these art, like all of the art that's being made from it, if it wasn't so consistent and nonstop and in your face. That's what happened. That's what had to have happened. That's what had to happen with civil rights. People think,
nigga,
civil rights started
done?
In just the 60s.
Are you done?
I'm giving my manifesto.
Yo,
I'm
James
ready for office.
Go yet. It's been
James
30
just
minutes
got
into the damn podcast. Go ahead. Wait. Rap, John.
I'm done. But I'm just saying, we needed it. People need to see this film.
100%.
People need to be beaten over the head.
John, one more.
And we need more conviction.
Fuck yeah, we do. We had two.
And now, but you know what? Now maybe police will think twice before they shoot somebody. Because now they'll think, now maybe in the back of their mind, they'll say, oh, I don't know if I actually can get away with this now.
Man, you know what, brother? Like, I hear you, like, for real, and I'm not being a cynic. Like, we got two convictions. I swear to God, that is a big deal. But when that woman went in that black man's house, when he was on his own goddamn couch and shot him, and the first thing that came out in the news was that, oh, he had weed in the house? What the fuck
That's
about this woman?
In the movie.
That's like in this.
Which is insane.
Which is the wildest thing.
Which is insane.
I've ever seen.
Could you imagine being in your own goddamn house? James, you're watching fucking dinosaur shit, right? You're watching Jurassic Park.
That would be what I was doing.
And someone randomly comes in and starts popping off at you.
All right.
And then that would be how it happened.
And then they come to you and be like, hey, man, you know what? Oh, that dude was
We found... The close they would find is like some whiskey in the... Oh, he drank... I mean,
he was a bunch.
They would have to lie and say that.
He had Future Plan in the background. Like, that's the type of shit that I'm talking about. So I hear you, but it's like...
I know, but...
This shit is...
Cops see this movie, I hope that there's... Like, if people... You know what I mean?
People gotta see it. They gotta contend with it.
James.
So you guys know this, that I had trouble after watching this movie about coming in and reviewing and talking about it because... So I loved it. I loved it. I had a great time. I thought it was a great movie. I thought that at every moment had tension and was filled with something. And I thought that was amazing. And you know, there were times where I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. They're drug deals. Oh, what? You know, like all of that was interesting. But then it was like it all fed into what the movie was about. Like everything came around. And it was just amazing. It was an amazing movie. But my problem came after. So I saw it at a screening that had a talk back. The director was there. The writer of the book was there. The writer of the movie.
Oh wow.
Passed away.
Yeah. And then two producers were there. It was great. Everyone was asking like dumb questions. But then a black woman stood up and she goes, I feel like the way that you represented black people in this movie was very problematic. And then I was like, what?
It
was surprising. And she didn't like that they were drug dealers. She thought that like, she's like, we've seen so many drug dealers like show something else.
She's wrong.
She is wrong. She was wrong. She was wrong. But at least that was how I felt. But she was looking at it and that was what she saw.
Okay.
And the writer was like, I was just putting my experience. She was really just like, he was based on a person. The young kid was based on a person that I knew, and I was writing this. You know, everything was coming from her experience. Then and then George came in and he was like, yeah, like I'm just trying to do everyone. And then one of the producers who was white was just like crying. Like I look at Russell Hornsby and he's like an example of a man. Like for me, he was actually crying. It was like, they were really just like, we 100% support this movie and this. And then I left. And then my wife goes, that group of black women, they're talking about hating the movie also. And it was just like a whole other. And so I didn't know anything about, like, I haven't seen any responses or anything to it. But it was like so hard to listen to her and have her. It was literally just her being like, black people are more than that. So you can. In the movie, you can show, you know, like, because once something becomes a movie, it's another thing. You know, it's now open to other people.
Not to cut you off, but Constance Wu talks about this. I think she talks about it in the best way. When she got fresh off the boat, people were like, yo, why are you portraying this type of stereotype? She's like, yo, this mom is a dragon lady. I grew up with this person. This is who it represents. She's like, your beef isn't with me. Your beef is with the fact that there's only me on TV.
Exactly. 100%.
And not other examples.
But my problem with that woman's comment is, hello, did you just hear all the films I listed off that came out this
right,
year?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not happening right now.
Yeah.
I understand that it is a problem. I understand that. But it's like, first of all, that wasn't like, there were other black characters in the film.
Right.
Tommy
many other black characters.
Exactly.
Common's character had money.
He was a cop.
Are you ignoring Common? And she was like, once the boy picks up the gun at the end, she was like, "That was." She walked out. She left.
I fully now that I support.
But she was like,
because
she,
you don't know where they're about to go.
Right. One, you don't know where they're about to go.
I also almost left,
bruh.
But the reason that she walked out was she said that it was further villainizing black people. Like, see, that was how she saw it. And and it was so hard for me because I was also like, I would, you know, and then, you know, it's the hate we give and all that stuff. But I also think that she is wrong as well. I'm like, I felt like she was even just missing the fact that he wasn't just dealing drugs. He was dealing them for literally like that was
the girl.
Like, it was as if she was looking at it through the lens of a white person. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like,
to defend her, like, I get for the most part, but I did have a problem with the one section at the end when it goes to the hate we give. And I get the point of it, but that section, I was like, this is bullshit. Because to me, it's like, and again, I am a nigga from the hood. And what they tried to say in that moment, my mind instantly went, fuck you, cuz. Because to an extent, I get what
she didn't even hear that.
What the thing is, I get what they were, and I get what they were trying to do. Like, it's a cycle that perpetuates itself. I get it. But what you said in that moment is that, yes, we're dealing with this whole system of people who hate us, but now we're giving them a reason to hate us with almost, with it just.
Oh, I don't think that's what
I don't know. I don't, yeah. She wasn't saying that,
the moment you said she didn't like that part, because at first I was like, I'm not going to like this. And then when I heard the voiceover, I'm not mad at the scene. I'm mad at the voiceover.
Mm-hmm. But to me, what that was saying was the hate is perpetuated. It's continued. It's lived on.
Yeah.
Like, so not that we're giving them a reason to hate us, but we're taking that hate and we're throwing it back on each other. Yeah. It's the same stuff of like, and Fences, we talked about this, like, all of the hate and oppression that the black man would get, he would take that in, but then he would go home and throw it on his wife.
Yeah.
And sometimes the wife would throw it on the kids, and then the kids would throw it on each other, right, and then it just keeps going.
Right. And I think that that's what, I think she means that, I think she means that too. Like, I don't think that she means that we are giving, even though, but then at the end of the day, that was the problem I had, right? Because we can all look at all these moments and we can all interpret them in different ways. Yeah. And I loved the movie so much. It did irk. I was bumped a little bit by the hate we give. I was like, hold on. Is she saying, I was with you there, you know? And then I rationalized this piece of it that Bray was saying. But still, I had so much trouble with it after the movie because I was just like, right. Like, I went in and I loved this, but... And what's right? What's right? What's wrong with? I had a lot of trouble.
I mean, this movie, like, I think we need to hop into it.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoying Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
But it's interesting because this movie started with something. This movie was so authentically black, man, that it was fucking beautiful to me. It was like you had this dad who was a panther, bruh. Like a panther. The opening shot is him with his kids giving the talk. And I know people seen articles about it, but I think people need to really know. Like, I wasn't brought up with the sex talk. My talk was to how to survive people who are supposed to protect you, which is wild. The talk that black kids have to go through is not how to just, hey, man, you know, the birds and the bees. It's like the people who most people call for help are going to try to kill you for whatever reason they have. And these are the ways it will happen. And these, his dad literally says at that table, I'm going to be driving with you, and one day I may get pulled over. I may have messed up. I may have done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I remember Queen's dad. I brought up. Remember Queen's dad saying, when y'all get pulled over, make sure Nate drives, because it will. He said it's going to happen. I remember we were driving the goddamn Maryland Eastern Shore, and we got pulled over, and Nate was driving. And it's wild to me that we live in a world where, like, we are treating our kids like, not weaponized, but we're like, it's almost we're giving a child armor because we're telling them, hey, the world is going to try to fuck you over. This is how you look out for yourself. Because at the end of the day, you have to be ready in this situation because there's no one for you to call. You can harass. If me and you walked out with hoodies right now and we got harassed, who the fuck are we going to call? Nobody. Like, there's nobody we can go to. And to me, to hear that dad have that conversation and be very adamant about it, be like, yo, remember these things, know your rights. But then at the end of the day, some people will say, you knowing your rights and stating your rights back is you, like, fighting. You compromising, which Common tried to say that bullshit later on in the movie, which I'm so happy that discussion came about.
Oh,
they did everything. I love
they did everything, dude.
So this the scene that scene was great. Hands on the table, and he was like, she was 10 or
yeah, she was 9. The brother, the older brother, was 10, and then the little brother was
like one.
Yeah, one or something like that.
Great. The dynamics between this family. She also like sets up the neighborhood. You know, you got the barbershop, you got the barbecue joint, you got the corner store.
He was a hood dad who loved his kids, yo.
Loved his kids.
God, man.
He had messed up earlier in life. He had gone to jail for a couple of years. It seems like he took the rap for somebody else. He was a part of a gang. He gets out of it. That was his way out.
They even talk about how you get in the system, bro. They really talk about the 13th Amendment. They talk about the fucking.
You know, you have him and Regina Hall, and they're like,
they're black love, baby.
It's so funny because again, they do things that other movies try to. Watching this movie, I'm like, it just makes me realize how terrible most movies are and how much we just allow it to happen. You know what I mean? We just get used to it and we're just like, oh, like, I guess it, like, you can't make it good. And that, you know what I mean? And then you forget it. But then you see somebody do it great and you're like, wait a minute. You mean all the other times I saw this moment, people weren't doing it right? It was like fake. You know what I mean? Like, it was either bad acting or bad writing or a combination of the two.
Yeah.
But they're like, beautiful. The parents making out and then the kids being like, ew, that's a classic scene, but the way that they did it was still with joy. The parents were like, this is like, shut up. Like, this is what we're doing. Kids were like, they're like, and they, she's like, her voiceover is like, their love's a little extra, but they're cute though, you know?
Yo, that's,
yeah, they're my OTP.
Yes.
Yeah,
was nice. It was like, my there was like OTP. Smile. Like, it was so real. Also, we didn't say this yet, but the guy who plays the brother, we have to look up his name.
Oh yeah, James.
But he looks so much like James the Third.
No way.
It was messing me up.
Stop.
Me and John talked about it at dinner. We talked about it at dinner. He was like, yo, that dude like James the Third.
That dude has some glasses on.
At one point, I was like, yes, bro.
No, man. I was like, yo, that's James.
Leave James alone.
I'll take it.
Leave James alone. But I think
I don't think he did, but okay.
James, John, I will say this. I think the thing that made
Lamar Johnson.
Oh, Lamar Johnson, he was great. I think what made this movie different is that it wasn't, certain moments weren't put upon. Like when you saw the parents being cute, she didn't have to have a voiceover. You just saw those black parents be cute as hell. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is something that you never get to see. And you got to see the dad be hood, but still be there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get to see like the dynamic. Like his mom was from the suburbs. His mom was from money. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, her mom was from money. Dad wasn't. Mm-hmm. She told you why the mom was still there. You know what I mean? And I thought that was something so good because going back to what the woman said at your screening, it's like, yeah, they did show like thugs and gang members, but the mom wasn't.
Right.
Common wasn't. I mean, technically, Amandala wasn't because Amandala was from the hood, but she went to school in the suburbs.
Right.
So you saw the vastness of what black people do. I was one of those kids who was in Southeast, but my mom took me to like, I went to a Catholic school my whole life.
You went to a private school.
Like, that's what.
You went to another school.
I went to another
school. That's exact. I mean, because I was born in New York, I went to public school for 2 years. And then immediately my mom put me in Catholic school. Yeah. And then so me and my sister were in Catholic school. And then they were like, actually, we're just going to move to Jersey. And this is what, I mean, this is what happens. Like, yeah. And it's sad. Like, we talk about like the ramifications of that. And they talk about it in this movie too.
They talk about it in the movie. What
like
movie
the
is?
Mom, the whole movie, the mom wants to move. She's like, we need to get out of here. This is dumb. To have pride in where you live, it doesn't matter. I have to care about my kids. Like, we need to get out. But then, like, the father is trying to say, like, no, there is something about staying here, providing for the community. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't have to leave. And I mean, in the movie, they wind up staying, which is like, it's like a feel good kind of moment. But again, it's a real struggle that parents have to deal with, that you don't know what to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, because our society places yeah. people in those situations.
Which is tough, man, because, I mean, you want to stay and fix it up, but then it's like, how much,
here's another thing, too. That happens not just in black neighborhoods. That happens in white neighborhoods, too. That happens in poor white towns, too. In poor, rural, white areas where the smart people just freaking leave. Yeah. And cities suck out a lot of the best and brightest. Yeah. I'm not even trying to crap on people who live in small towns. I'm just saying, like, there is a thing that our society is set up in a way where it's like, if you want to make the most money, you got to go here, you got to go there. And the people who have a lot of ambition, who have a lot of, like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of career-driven thing, a lot of them leave. And it's hard for those towns.
Yeah.
Because that's how our society is set up.
I mean, it's dope. I think, you know, we get to see, man, this movie touches on so much.
Yeah. Like,
so much. We get to see immediately her have her coat switch. She's like, yeah.
So, yeah, we
mom,
see the white high school.
But we see, and this is the thing, we see her in Jordans. And y'all know I'm in love with Jordans. Yes. But the thing about it
she's
is, though,
head.
And this, I think this touches on what John was saying earlier about Amandala. And I think this is solely a performance thing. As she's walking down the hall, you hear the VO talking about, yeah, when I'm here, and she talks about like, I'm a different person here. I'm a star 2.0. And she's saying, I don't know if I even like being this person. As she's saying it, I don't even know if I like being this person who I am. As she's saying this, people are high-fiving her, people are like pointing at her, and every time she does, hey, and instantly her face goes back to like a little bit of sadness.
The line she says is, for my white friends, talking slang makes them cool. Yeah. But for me talking slang, it makes me like the black girl from the hood. So I don't do it. So you see like three different instances where they're like, yo girl, what's up? How you doing? And she's like, I'm fine, thanks. Good to see you.
But that was my college
and again,
experience.
It doesn't, and
here.
The thing is, I just said it and I made it sound cheesy. In the movie, it's not cheesy.
Well, so what's interesting about what you were saying in your initial thoughts, is that like it doesn't feel like this was even played for comedy.
Yes.
Like it was literally just like, I don't know that I've ever seen code switching not played for comedy.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's why this was so fresh, because it's literally just like, and when we hear from the white people, "What's up, girl," or whatever, it's like groan inducing. It's like,
right,
we don't like them. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
But we all, listen, all three of us at this table, we all got the voice.
Oh,
if you were, if you were, if you were, if you were calling Verizon or right. whoever your phone,
it's my voice.
But you, like, to me, it's like you saw her do the thing that we've seen in other movies twice this year. Right. But like, yeah. you said, they were played for jokes.
Right.
And the other thing is, yes, she, you could see like the, like that kind of sigh in her face. But, and we'll talk about this, the boyfriend who is potentially problematic. I liked the fact that the boyfriend was also doing this black thing.
Yeah.
He like makes a beat. He's like, he wears sneakers, like Jordans. And like, he does this thing where he's like dancing and he's just dancing and she's like looking at him, but she's genuinely laughing and genuinely like enamored with this guy.
Yeah.
Who's like doing a thing that she doesn't know how she feels about, but she's okay with him. And I was like, this is real. Like,
yeah.
it's not
he's,
just like
he's
all
just like that.
That's just him. It's yeah. probably that's problematic, just but that's just him.
But that's
yeah.
just
yeah.
him. And I was like, that's, I love that, because yeah. there are people who you're like, I mean, as for me growing up in a white high school, like there are people who are like, you're like, oh, this dude is like trying to act so black. And there's like some people who are like, it feels authentic. Blindspotting kind of talked about yeah. that too. But anyway. Yeah.
No, I thought that was great. And I also loved, honestly, damn, this movie did move quick. After that scene, we get to her back home. She goes to the party with her homegirl.
Yeah.
Her homegirl, it's so funny because I'm happy her homegirl was in there, because the homegirl was a LaQuisha. Her homegirl was like the runaway chick that you were expecting, who brought her to a party just to jump somebody. The whole point to bring her to the party was like, yeah, you got my back, right? It's like, wait, what? You
know, like, what I mean? You're trying to start a fight.
I did not come here for this.
Yeah, like, that's not what I'm here for. And I did love that Amandala showed up
in
the hoodie.
They were making fun of her.
Yeah, man, because, like, I mean, look, I wasn't a hood dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, my boy Omar was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had, like, that wasn't.
Right.
I didn't have Jordans. My shoes had freaking Power Rangers in the side of them, Jones, till I was in, like, 12th grade, bro. You know what I mean? But it was so cool to see, like John was saying, like, you see different types of black people, yeah. which makes you so frustrated about that woman. It's like, you didn't watch it.
No,
you didn't watch the movie.
That's the thing. She didn't allow herself to see what the movie was trying to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. What? So you have, yeah, and you have all these different types at the party, and she's kind of like, and she even says at the party, she's like, I don't know if I should be at this party. Both sides.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. She don't know what she, which is so weird. You don't know where you fit
both
in.
Both sides don't know if they should be at this party. My white side and my black side, I'm like, I don't know if I should be at this party though.
Which is so cool to like to be one of the people who does, like, you don't know where you fit in. Cause you still gotta code switch around black people, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, straight up. You know what I mean? Like, we still gotta do it. Like, you know, if we're somewhere, like if we go to Brown, if we had a show at Brown,
yeah.
that show's gonna be drastically different than our show at Howard.
Right.
If we go to Howard, them jokes better. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit's gonna be different.
And,
but,
and so, and then this is the first time we meet Khalil.
Yeah. New Edition. New Edition.
Is that who he is?
Al G. Smith.
He was great.
From Detroit.
He was great.
Also, the New Edition story.
Also, New Edition.
That's yes. how I knew him first.
He's in Detroit. Okay.
The thing about him that I really liked in this movie is that he was super likable. And it was tricky because I know he wasn't the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
But I did love later on learning that, like, you know, this dude had a tough life. But he still, for the most part, wasn't the hood dude who was super tatted. He was still kind of pretty. He was still pretty jovial. I would have loved kind of to see him live a little bit more, or even, but I know that's not the point.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But I did think that, like, this whole section was rich with him, right? Like,
it was.
We really got to know him, you know, and their history all comes out right there.
And it's hard because, for me, I know there is just an overwhelming sense of dread immediately when he comes in, because I'm just waiting for, because I'm like, it's going to happen.
He wearing the same outfit from the trailer, baby.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was like,
I didn't see the trailer. I had no idea what was coming. I had no idea what was coming the whole movie.
Oh, that's great.
No idea. The whole movie.
Wait,
sorry.
Oh, that's great.
No,
wait, so yeah, how did you experience this?
This part was just like so nice. And
so you were like, you were able to be like happy and joking when they were flirting.
And then the second the cop pulls up, immediately frightened.
I mean,
right.
And Kat was frightened too, but I think she had seen the trailer before. So like, I was like, I didn't know what was coming.
Y'all remember when we saw Get Out? Remember we saw Get Out And literally at one point where the police cops flash and everyone in the theater goes, oh no.
Yo.
Like the dread. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
The fact that there's so much dread and like people that are supposed to help you. Like that's insane shit.
Yeah, no, it's really crazy, and it's so real, and it's always been a part of, you know, it's like a thing that's always been a part of my life, and it's like, oh wow, now it's
now everybody gets
now
it.
Everyone knows. What,
yeah,
you know,
no, it's true. There's something to be said that now everybody gets it,
right?
Right. So, I think his performance was so good because it was just, again, just like Amandla, so natural, so real, so authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that flirting that's like in another world, in her like white world, is like a little bit too much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But in this world, like, we get it. And we also see like the kindness in his heart. They have the moment where you know, the kiss happens. And then she's so like, cute. I have a boyfriend. And he's like, that's okay. I'll like...
I'll wait.
We got time.
I'll
we
wait
got time.
For you.
And then,
I'll wait.
And so it was that moment when I was like, oh well, we're gonna lose him. Like it was in that moment where I was like, okay, his time is
him
is
saying
small.
We got time again. And here's the thing: you can say that line, and in a bad actor's mouth, in a bad director with a bad script, we got time would be like, oh God.
Yeah, it would be gross.
Because it wasn't a big deal.
It would be gross. But it was so authentic.
Yeah.
He wasn't giving her a line. He was like, it's cool.
It's
we
cool.
Got time.
And he was like, of course. Well, of course he would say that.
Yeah.
But he's like, they're in high school. Like,
yo. Oh, wait. When the cop comes, the type of fear that, because two things usually happen. I don't know if you guys have been pulled over by cops. Two things usually happen. You're either going to get a cop who's trying to be super friendly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make a joke like, oh, who that? What's going on in the car, right? Which is like, bro, like, what is happening? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
You can't ask.
Honestly, I appreciate the friendly cop much more.
See, it's so tricky because I never know what to expect because the thing is, at the end of the day, it's like, I can't ask you a question.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and if.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No. I never ask a question.
And the thing is, I think sometimes, at least in my experience, is like, if you know your rights, right? If you know, for instance, is that when a cop pulls you over, you're not legally obligated to roll down your window fully. Mm-hmm. Just long enough that they can see your eyes and you can speak. Like, you don't have to do shit. But we don't do that. A cop, technically, without probable cause, can't go in your trunk. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Like,
that's
but
a legal
we all, but we all, but people just do it. And to me, it's like, it's something to see this cop show up and kind of play in both fields at first. Like, at first, he's like, he's super disrespectful, but then he goes, like, who's that? And I can't tell what he's doing. I can't tell. Is this a friendly cop? Is this an aggressive cop?
He wasn't a friendly cop.
Right.
You know, he was trying
immediately. No. I think the second we see him, he like has his hand on his.
Because
thing.
To me, the friendly cop.
That happens
so
all the
here's
time.
What the,
that's
here's
what
they
do.
What,
he was so skittish.
I know what you're saying because. And the friendly cop has a thing behind him, so it's not actually friendly. But this is what their technique is. I'm going to pretend like I'm your best friend, but I'm going to actually ask you. Like, so they'll pull, like. Like, I've gotten pulled over a couple times, and I've never gotten a ticket. but what will happen is I get pulled over, and the one thing that I hate in movies when they don't do is when you get pulled over, there's some time before they get to you.
Yep.
Get out your license and your registration. That's the only. That's the thing that they
do. I don't do that. I don't do that immediately
because they're going to ask you for it.
Nope. Because my thing is, if I'm in my car. If three of us are in the car and I'm driving and you from the distance behind and you see me shuffling I can't do it because at that point
I'm gonna start wearing my ID in like a badge like around my neck. I'm not kidding. I'm gonna like
I'm
act,
way,
when I, every time
I'm
I get into a car.
I'm way
I'll
more
have
nervous
it.
To do it. To be like, they're like, where's your registration? And then I have to go over to the...
You get a badge, you put the ID...
Wait, do you have
you
your registration
in
your...
What I do is, and it's so tricky, because my thing is, I've been very skittish of like, there's rules. If you look back, it means you're hiding something. If you move, if they see you move, it's like, they see you hiding something. So to me, it's like, what I normally do is, the dad was so right. I usually have my hands on top, fingers spread, and I will try my best to keep my left hand there. And like, hey, I'm going, I'm leaning. And I will do my best. I know exactly where it is.
That dude got
shot. In the gut parts.
Yeah.
You know that dude got shot when he told the cop.
But you can get shot no matter what.
He said, I'm getting my registration. I have a gun in the glove compartment, just so you know, it's a legally registered gun.
But the thing is,
and he went into the glove compartment, he got shot.
But my thing is, there was nothing at that point, to be truthfully honest, that dude could have done. Because at this point, He had his license, the gun registration license. He told people, you see the video of how slow he's fucking moving. At that point, he's just black.
I know.
Like, at that point, he's...
That's what I'm scared of.
What I'm saying for you, that may work, but also to me, it's like, at that point, depending on who may be with you in that car, mm-hmm. you doing that motion from the back may look like you're, like, shuffling or hiding.
But can they see you?
Yeah. They can see your head. I mean, they
you
can
keep
see
the, so you keep the registration in the window. I know. You have to keep it up in the mirror.
That is what you have to do.
I know people who do that.
Then that's all you got to do is grab it.
I know people who do that.
And then, yeah. And then
but that shouldn't have to fucking happen.
No, it shouldn't.
Well, the friendly officer is like, can I see license registration, please? How are you? What are you? So what's up? How are you doing tonight? What's going on?
I have only had the doctor cop, which is just like, I'm just gonna ask you questions. These are the questions. That's all I've ever. I've never had someone with any amount of personality up or down.
I had a person who asked me no question, dragged me out of the car from my parents.
Yeah.
No, crazy. And the thing that's so crazy about shit like that is like right now we just sat here for 5 fucking minutes describing ways that we cannot get shot, which is not even fucking funny.
No.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and the thing is, those ways.
There's a smile on my face. That's not funny.
But it's just what you do. Because you're used to it. Yep. It's just what it is. It's
there's nothing I can do about it, so I laugh instead of cry.
This last week was our honeymoon, and we were in a car a lot. And every time we got in a car, Kat talked about, like, okay, and this is what we're going to do. And then if we get pulled over, then we're going to do this. And this is the plan. Literally, every time we got in the car.
How wild is it to have a kid, right? To have a kid and to send that kid out into the world. And you can protect your kid from hood violence for an extent, but you can't protect this kid from just being black on the street. And literally at one point, the line that's in the movie is like, yo, it's hard to be black. It's hard to be not a criminal when your skin color is the weapon.
Yeah.
And it's like
literally they said, the Rodney King, one of the cops said in the video being interviewed, they said, but did he have you didn't see a weapon? And he said, I did see a weapon. The weapon was his body. He literally said that.
Eric Garner was huge. He was huge. And that was the thing. My man was selling Lucy's.
I literally was like, cool. So you just walk around seeing everybody has a weapon? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I think, and not to skip around, but I know we should be moving on. But this is my thing. I think, and this is a skip, we can come back. But one of the most important conversations in this movie is later in the film with Amanda and Common. Common is a cop. Common is also a black guy, right? And Amanda, she says two really important things in the movie, and this is one of them, the second one. She goes, the brush, she's like, well, the cop, and Common gets this whole speech about, you know,
some people don't see it that way.
Yeah, like some people see, like, and my teacher, my teacher in high school stopped teaching, used to be a cop, and all of a sudden he was like, yeah, I had to come back to teaching. And he's like, there's certain things I can't unsee. It was like, God bless, I will never ask you. Mm-hmm. But he does describe a thing like when you pull somebody over or when you go in someone's house, it is heightened because you don't know what to expect. People don't like you because of your badge, right? Because it isn't the old days. This isn't the days of the cop who lived in the neighborhood is policing the neighborhood. This is the white dude from Beverly Hills going to Compton. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And listening to Common tell the story about the heightened senses, how you're aware, how you're looking for movements, how you're listening to sounds, how you're looking at the woman in the car to see if the woman's being kidnapped or if the woman's been assaulted. Mm-hmm. I get that. But when Amanda hits him with, if it was a white guy and you saw him move out the car, would you say put your hands up or would you shoot? And for her friend, he's like, I would shoot. For the white guy, he goes, I would say put your hands up. And in that statement alone, what you're saying to me is that you're giving that white dude benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You're giving him just a little bit of credit that he is not a criminal, whereas this person's black skin automatically makes him a criminal. And then, like, that is a sad thing because that's a black cop. I'm more scared of black cops than white cops.
Mm-hmm.
100% because to me, it's like a white cop, I know you don't, not again, whatever. But I know instinctively you may not fuck with me.
Yeah.
But to when I see a black cop, it's like, oh, I don't want to have to pull you over. I'm disappointed in you. I may be taken out with white cops say. I don't know. It seems like there's so much anger when a black cop comes to you.
I really love that scene because they gave Common his spiel.
Yeah.
He wasn't, and they allowed him to be like a quote unquote good guy in other moments.
Yeah.
Because that is, for the most part, what it is. Now, there are some cops that I think legit are just straight up trying to kill people.
Yeah,
100%.
That they don't like, but like in these moments, like the people when they're like, oh, you know, we just there's just a bunch of bad apples or whatever the heck the people will try to say. What they're talking about are people like Common who are like, you see them, you know that they're trying to do the right thing, but they have a mentality that's flawed. But the movie allowed him to say the thing, but it also allowed Amanda Lee to get the last word, and which I really liked.
And he got a shot to reflect. He got one smooth shot. And then she also says something, sorry to keep cutting around, when she's being interviewed on TV and they keep asking about his criminal history.
The interview!
The interview they did it, and in the interrogation. It was an interrogation.
No, but it was an interrogation.
It was supposed to be a statement.
Right,
it was supposed to be a statement of what happened.
It's just a statement of what happened, and they're like, and they're asking her, okay, well,
did he start to fight?
You know, what did he do? Like, oh, does he deal drugs? It's like, what? I mean, he said that he did it, blah, blah, blah. Who does he deal drugs for? You know, I don't know. Was he thinking? Like, why did he reach for his comb? I don't know. Why don't you know? It was like, what are you talking about? Why doesn't she know? Because she's not him.
Yeah. Why?
What?
And like, also, but she said
it. But they were interrogating her like she was guilty.
But she gave the answer that I think was his action. He was trying to make sure I was okay. And to me, if I was in that situation and my lady was in the car, I'm probably going to try to be playful because I know she will be stressed the fuck out. And to me, it's like, what you're saying, that again, I brought this up on this podcast before. If you go to fucking Time Magazine, Dave Chappelle just said this on the Van Jones show. He did, like last weekend. You think about how people are treating these white girls who are addicted to opioids, right? And you think about how they treated black people when they were addicted to crack. One was an epidemic that needed to be eradicated. One is a problem that we got to fix. It's like literally the cover of one is a crack baby and the other one is a white girl in front of a brick wall holding a crime baby. Like, you know what I'm saying? The visuals are different. And when I look at this moment, it's like, yo, you're asking me about this boy. But again, no one's asking about this white woman who shot up that black dude in the house. Yeah. To this day, I don't know shit about her, but I know that this dude had a fifth of weed in his house. I know. Why the fuck do I know that? Yeah. My man could have been watching the fucking game. Ain't nobody saying, oh man, this dude loves the fucking Cowboys.
Yeah.
Nobody says, oh, this chick came home fucking half tired, walked in this man's house and shot him, and they found out they dated, and no one is telling you no facts about this chick. But we know this nigga had weed in the house.
Right. Right. So they ask, both in the interrogation that was supposed to just be a statement, and the woman who was interviewing was asking her about like the criminality.
The King Lords.
Kinglers or whatever.
That was all.
And she's like, you're not asking me about what actually happened. Like, this has nothing to do. And even they, like the cops were like, well, we need context. It's like, there is no, what context? He didn't know any of this stuff either. There is no context. The context is what happened in the night of the shooting, period. That's the context. Anyway, so we have that. So they touch on the media problems. They touch on the Blue Lives Matter, kind of the cops angle of it. We have a black cop. Now, the gangs
don't mess with her now.
So now the gangs, right? And so they touch on the issue of snitching and what this means, right? Because like now they're upset with her because she said that. I mean, it also was a thing where I was like, I don't know why she had to say it. That was the only part of the movie that felt forced. The only time I was like, I was just like, why did she say that he worked for the king? Like, she'd have to name the gang.
Yeah, but then
gang.
Didn't she say it because of her other friend who was
right?
We don't learn that until way later.
Okay,
in
that
the
makes
moment,
sense.
It feels weird.
It feels weird,
but
that makes more sense.
That makes way more sense. Also, man.
I like that they brought the gang kind of into it because it does play a thing. You know what I mean? You can't snitch. It's true. It's like, and then there was this thing of like, this is the thing that makes people it creates an even greater barrier between cops and the people who they are supposed to be serving. Mm-hmm. But it's really just like, a confinement of those communities. You know what I mean? It's like making sure they don't get out and affect the other neighborhoods that we have deemed good, and we just confine and contain this neighborhood. You know what I mean? We don't actually care about the people here. We just don't want it to spill out here. That's how the policing is done in those kind of inner cities.
And it's so interesting because this movie, sorry people, we are skipping around, but there's so much in this movie that I feel like this could be like a 5-hour podcast, but it's like they touch on so much stuff where even the dad at one point says to what is it? Who is he talking to? He says to somebody, and he talks about the drugs and how the drugs and stuff can. He talks about why people become, like, why people turn it, like, why people become drug dealers, right? And he's like, it's not because it's something that they want to do. Quincy Jones, Quincy has a doc on Netflix. He talks about it. He's like, when he was growing up, he wanted to be a thug because that's all he saw around him. He saw that the people who had money weren't the dudes going to the 9-5s, but it was the people on the corners, people on the block. And he's like, that's the system. He's like, the system just puts you in a circle of like, oh, yes, you could go to college and get out of here, but that costs a lot of money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that costs a lot of time.
And there's no guarantee.
That's time. That's like, money and time.
Like, and there's no guarantee. You could be like... We hear about the people who break through, who become the only black person in blah, blah, in this job or that job or whatever, especially then, you know, the thing is, it was like, there was no guarantee that you would even get the job, even if you were able to get all that education.
Yeah. Because at that point, you have to be, we talk about it on this podcast, you have to be exceptional, right?
Right.
And at that point, you also have to not only be exceptional, but nobody's doing that by themselves.
Right.
Like, you have to have someone who makes a huge sacrifice for you to propel, or someone to be like, yo, I see something in you. I got you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so to hear that dad talk about this vicious cycle and not defend it, but just say, this is how it happens, man. And also he brings it up. Do you know anybody with a private jet?
Yeah.
Anybody? Like, they said it in Straight Outta Compton. They say it in so many movies. Black, literally, if you live in a project somewhere, I'm pretty sure in your closest city, you don't know anybody with a jet. So it's like, how is all these drugs getting into the city?
And again, drugs are everywhere.
Everywhere.
They're not just in the inner city. The inner city is the only place where drugs are policed that heavily. And where they're literally breaking into people's homes and doing search, like having search, get, somehow getting search warrants, which should be illegal, and breaking into people's homes to find something. And then the only thing they find is like a small amount of drugs, but that's enough to put people away. Mm-hmm. If they were breaking into people, could you imagine if cops were raiding college dorm rooms? You think they wouldn't find something?
Oh, at Yale? You talking about if they go to Yale?
You think they wouldn't find something?
Send their asses to Yale. I'm about to call some shit.
They would
in
find
Yale
something.
Specifically.
Go, yeah, send their asses to Yale. Send their asses to Yale, Stanford.
But that political firestorm would be insane, and they could never, they wouldn't be able to withstand that.
Well, it's
so again, it's like we're, anyway.
No, but
this
it's
isn't
so,
a,
no, but it's,
this is not a political podcast.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I almost forgot. Yes, we don't talk about politics on here.
We
sorry.
Don't?
Sorry, we don't
at
talk
all?
About politics. No, we don't talk about politics.
What have you
on
been
here.
Doing we this about, whole time?
Talk
about,
I'm do, saying
we
this
tell
is
jokes.
Not a political podcast.
we're telling jokes on this, Joan. This is not what we do. This is not what we do. But the thing about, all right, just to skip ahead. So like, you know, now we're living in it. Now we see Amanda like trying to deal with, again, she has the gang. She has Anthony Mackie on her. And also, her friends at school. So, and this is the thing that I think is so important is that her friends.
This friend.
Yeah, but also this is my thing. This is my thing that's so interesting about it is that this friend was saying the same shit that
saying
she's probably always said, but
that's
now
right.
it's different.
Now it's different.
Now it's different. Like I've had friends who I used to let slide with that. I mean, you black, but you ain't that black because when I first came to New York, I didn't want to be a scary black person to them. So the voice was a little bit high pitcher. You know, like it was a little more bounce. And it's like because that was to make other people feel comfortable. And they hear this girl make fried chicken jokes and not see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Fried chicken jokes, bro. You gonna make a fried chicken.
We had it for
joke?
Lunch. What's your problem?
And,
yo,
you know,
girl, what's up? We tight.
The beauty of this movie, is that
I loved
Amanda
it.
Never forgave her.
But yeah. Right, because but here's the to me, the even bigger beauty was that there was a progression in it took place over a period of time. It wasn't like the first thing that she said, she was like, excuse me. She said something, the girl said something back, and then she was like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm tripping. We did have fried chicken for lunch. You're right. I'm sorry. Like, whatever. Something's on my mind. Then another thing comes up, and then they have another fight, and then it's like, I don't know. She's always been like that. It's just weird and this thing and that thing. And the mom is like, she's like, oh, I know. You've never liked her. No. I'm not saying I never liked her. I'm just saying I hate that you follow her like that. Mm-hmm. I hate that you, everything that she says, you just agree with. Mm-hmm. Why did you do, and she's oh, that's not true. Why did you do this thing? Because she wanted to. Okay, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so she, and it wasn't just a manifestation of like, no, screw you, because that's not what happens in real life.
Yeah,
especially with a friend that you've had for that long. But it does happen. Mm-hmm. There's a progression, and then you start to have those conversations, and you realize what that girl's true colors were. Like it came out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And And she stuck with it. That girl was like, no, like, you're not thinking about the cop's life, you know, whatever. Like, I think that they was right. I mean, it was incredible.
But the thing is,
the Black
so
Lives Matter protests.
Yo.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
I think that was so cool about this movie is that even after that Black Lives Matter thing and everyone got out of school early, you had that moment of the girl, and this is some, this reminds me of college, so this is whatever. When the girl goes, yeah, he was different. And she says it, and she doesn't even know, she can't even articulate why at first. Mm-hmm. And Amanda goes, hey, because he had a brush in his hand, you think he was a weapon? I mean, he's different.
If it's I different hold in it, his hand, right.
If I hold it, what is it? No.
Right.
If you and it's something that's so particular because about that, like I remember in college getting in the argument, being confronted by my roommates because I had a Malcolm X and a Martin Luther King shirt on. Because like again,
confronted?
Oh, I'm talking about in my bedroom. Ugh. Because my roommate's girlfriend was offended that I had Malcolm X on my
offended?
Shirt. Offended? Because he was racist and hated white people. And I'm like, all right, this is a teachable moment. I'm all about teachable moments. And I remember going like, hey, he started off being like self-defense. His simple thing was, again, like, I'm not telling you go out there and just kill motherfuckers, but if someone comes to your house, try to kill you, you need to defend yourself, defend your family. That's what he was about. But again, he switched. Like, literally, the roles switched. Mm-hmm. When he ended his life, he was like, we need allies. I get it now. And to see Amanda have to teach this girl what that fear feels like, a fear that no kid should ever have to feel, for holding a brush. And the thing is, to see that girl cower, right, and cry and whimper, something in me felt fear for Amanda at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my thing is, you have a blonde, cute white girl screaming, terrified, mm-hmm. even though she deserves it, and you're just a black girl with braids
right.
over her. I'm like, I was scared that somebody was going to just run up on her.
Yeah, at this point in the movie, too, they are really turning up. Like, there are no safe places, you know? Nope. At this point, they are staying at Commons or...
Not yet,
right? Not yet. But it's like school is not safe. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that she is not even safe there anymore. And then, like, right after this, we get, like, home is not safe, you know?
They shot in her man's house. They shot up that man's house with his family in there. And it's so funny because I thought that was going to happen in the scene earlier because they kept showing Regina Hall by that door.
I kept getting scared. Anytime somebody was near a window or a door, like even at the end where I was like, yo, I kept waiting for somebody else to like get shot. And I was like, this is too much. Like the amount of tension I had in this movie was insane.
But I was
so mad.
But it felt
honest. With the brother, with the older brother, when they like go back to the house, I was like, don't get your, like, and there was something about that was sweet. It was like, it's so funny how many times in the movie I thought, don't do that. That's stupid. But I also was like, but I get it. Like, I get why you're doing it.
He's a
and I was like,
family.
Yo, I would, if my dad was like, I'm going back to the house to defend the house, I would totally be like, yo, dad, I'm coming with you. Yeah. We're going to defend, like, and it, oh my God, that.
And his son still was
messed
scared.
Me up.
And his son was scared.
And he was scared.
He was scared in the scene.
Oh man, that messed me
the
up.
The scene that messed me up, the, like, one of the most, oh my God. The scene right after Amanda does the interview and they're in the restaurant.
Oh God!
And you see the gang across the street. The dad comes out to confront him, and the thing is, it's so crazy. The dad is about to fight three of these dudes, mm-hmm. right?
Again,
three of these dudes.
An idiot. Don't do that.
Yeah, three of these dudes. But then you realize, oh, he was the guy's enforcer in the first place. Mm-hmm. But then it's so crazy about it is that we see the car drive off. We see the cops come, And it was just repeating itself. And the thing is, you knew it was about to. And it didn't even matter if phones were there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's it. Yes, I know that we're getting indictments now. But there's been decades of now footage showing things happening to people of color in groups of people.
Right.
I mean, bruh, we watched Fruitvale Station. That happened on a pack, in front of a pack train.
Yeah.
That dude didn't even really get fired. He got Like,
well, the same thing that happened in this movie. Paid leave.
And I'm like, that happened on a train full of people in the era of cell phones. And I'm looking at this dad who is now being forced on a glass in front of his family. You know what I mean? Like, no one's talking to him. No one's asking him legitimate, calm questions.
Right.
Even when he comes out, even when his kids come out the goddamn house, people yelling at his wife. I remember when the cop yelled at my mom. Ain't nobody give a fuck that she was an older woman. My mom was in her 70s.
Right.
And this only happened to, she was 70 when this shit happened. They don't want to give a fuck there's an old black lady. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't want to give a fuck that you got a, what, 5-year-old
also,
in front of you?
Also, what is, so, this isn't a political podcast, but what is wrong with America that the police are so afraid of, like, the government is so afraid of its citizens, that afraid of its citizens? It's like, well, what are you doing to make people that afraid? Like, what are you doing that you're that afraid? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That means you're doing something wrong. Because what? You think we're all just murderers? Like, that's what you think? You think that this is just a world full of, like, people who are just going to shoot a cop in the face?
No. Most people ain't
gonna. Like, you're literally throwing your life away. If you try to murder a police officer, you know what I mean? Like, it takes a level of either mental insanity or, like, I literally have nothing to live for to do something like that. And yet cops are so scared all the time.
It's the thing where we live in a world where, like, I'm thinking about even in this movie when we have the big thing is we're trying to get Amanda Lee to build the courage to talk in front of the grand jury, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. She has to talk in front of the grand jury. Like, no one's in there with her. And the thing that's so interesting is because how she's taught, she knows the officer's number, knows his last name, 115. Details.
Right?
Details. She goes, and I remember seeing this in the movie, and I was sitting next to an older black woman who took my seat, by the way, but I'm going to let it go. She was sitting in my seat, but, you know, it was reserved, whatever. But when the scene comes, Amanda is walking in the courtroom, and they show the jury. This woman goes, oh, no. Like, just straight up, oh, no. We see one black dude. And it sucks that her and mine, and probably everyone else's initial reaction is, even though we know what happened, and even though we're about to hear this young girl's, like, account of the situation, we know that no matter what happens, because of the fact that these people don't have the same skin color as her, they will not understand or side with her.
Yeah.
It's like, it sucks. It's like, we still people. Like, I said this today. It's like, my family's from the South, bruh. Like, those poor black people are just like the poor white people. They live on the same block. They deal with the same goddamn issues. And the thing is, when I hear some of them talk, I'm like, y'all do realize that Trump made all y'all broke from the same. Y'all should be mad at the same person. Legit. Yeah. We all broke down this motherfucker. Like, it's not even about skin right now. Mm-hmm. This now is about class. And to see the fact that these people are her peers from her neighborhood and don't have her best interest in mind. And we find out later on that there is no, like, they're not going to trial. Dude's free. Nothing happened. Literally, this movie ends with the big shooting. Nothing happens. That's the point. How crazy is that? Is that your big reveal?
Right.
There's not even a big altercation. Yeah, it's a march, what normally happens.
Yeah, there's a riot.
You know, but not even, it's not even like the LA riots. It's not even like black people are like breaking shit.
Huge
it's literally,
riot, but it was like the Ferguson or.
But it's
Baltimore.
So crazy because when you see it, it's like, even at Ferguson, people were like breaking and, like, I know we see the police car window get busted or whatever, but, like, people aren't looting. People aren't doing that. People were just marching. And we always see these cities with all this, like, war gear, bruh. Mm-hmm. Like, why does a city have a tank?
Because
they're afraid of their citizens.
Yeah. And, like, it seemed like the movie, I mean, and this is probably just from footage, but, like, it was calm until the police made it not calm.
Right.
That's
what always happens.
It was, everything was, we were good. We were straight. Yeah. Just get out of our way so we can stand here and we can protest.
That's it. Peaceful protest.
Oh, okay. Now it's a problem.
But also the thing is, like, I mean, and this is what, you know, I have problems with Colin Kaepernick because he doesn't vote, but this is what he has shown me is, like, there is no appropriate way to protest now. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just take a knee. I can't just sit down. I physically can't do nothing in my own space without offending or being a target here in America. You know what I mean? Like, there's young kids who now they were saying in college, like, if some of these kids kneel before games, they'll be kicked out of school. It's like, bruh, this is the peaceful pro. This is a sit-in. This is a new age sit-in. You know what I mean? And this ain't even taking up space at a restaurant counter. I'm literally supposed to be on this field, and instead of standing, you know what? I'ma just sit down. I'ma just take an eat.
And technically, it's late at night. Nobody's going to these stores. Like, we can be out here right now.
It doesn't. It's frustrating because, like, why does this town have a tank? You know what I mean? Like, for real. Like, I think by this time in the city, it's like, well, my parents live, they live in a place that is so small that they only have an IGA, used to be Piggly Wiggly, and a Family Dollar. And yet their police force has a tank.
Well, John Oliver has a whole program on it. People should go look it up. The militarization of the local police. It's a real thing. It happened. There is a surplus of because we spend the most money on our military, more than the next, I think it's 8 countries combined. Wow. Like the next
combined.
It's like, yes, it's like combined. We're number one. And in terms of all the countries in the world, who spends the most of the military? It's like us number one. And then it's like the next 2 through 8. If you combine how much they spend, we still have spend more than they
absurd.
All do.
How do you have a town without a Walmart or a pizza place, but you got a tank?
This
I know we're not a political podcast, but I'm just saying.
This is it.
That's what I'm saying.
And then the only thing I have to say, I don't have to say this. I'm sorry for saying this.
What?
I wasn't feeling Issa Rae.
I wasn't either. She had no purpose in it.
I was.
It was a stunt casting.
Was a stunt cast. It did feel like a stunt casting, and it did feel like, know, you know, she's flexing her muscles. You know what I mean? Insecure. Okay. You know, she's done Insecure, and then she's done this. You know what I mean?
Her being in this movie helped it probably get made. Like, the fact that she did it, the fact that Khan did it, the fact that Regina Hall did it, I think the role
that she had was like, okay, cool. She's a speaker. She can do that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like
The funeral, I was like, we don't need this.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's just
Tom Cruise isn't good
in
cocktails.
Fair. It's totally not fair. It's totally not fair. But I was thinking about her. I was thinking about her speech, and then I was thinking about the two speeches we get in Black Klansman, like the one at the...
The one at the beginning.
Corey Hawkins, and then Harry Belafonte, and I was like, that's what they were trying to do, but that did not happen.
Well, it wasn't, you know...
That did not happen.
Hey, you know what? There was a lot of other positives. Like, for instance...
Okay,
like,
I don't have to say this, but I know there are other people out there who are like, yeah, but Issa Rae. I know.
Other positives.
I'm not the only one. Now there are probably much more of you who are like, I love Issa Rae. I hate you. But, you know. I also love Issa Rae.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She's out here.
There is one thing.
Love to be on Insecure. I love it.
Shut up. There's a thing. I did like, the ending was very tough because, like, the whole fire thing happened, but I just want to talk about the sun.
And well, me, good God.
The fire thing was interesting. It was like, oh, I saw that coming or whatever. Also, the riot.
Oh, I didn't. For a second, I thought those kids were about to get murdered.
I was really scared. I figured the neighborhood was going to help out.
The sun's about to die.
But also, even getting to that point, the reason they have to go to that store is because the cops shoot, like, tear gas. Now, if you ever been pepper sprayed with tear gas, that shit burns, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that in the very front line, there's 3 kids. Matter of fact, the camera shows one child happy bouncing as the protest is coming, right? So police still seeing these kids shoot tear gas, right? They got to go to the store. The neighborhood guys try to help them out. Dad comes. Now we got the conversation with the gangs. And the young son has grabbed the gun and now has the gun up, right?
Right.
And it's something about this scene that, again, I was like, oh, man, this is a little bit much. But I get it. Because my instant fear was they about to shoot this black kid.
Of course.
Like, and like, how crazy. Like, do y'all remember when the kid got shot, like, at the gas? Like, he was playing with a BB gun?
That's exactly what I thought I was thinking about.
I was like, they about to kill his kid.
The kid who had a BB gun what do they call those? Stands?
He was in a bus stop, right?
No, it was like a... I forgot what they called
it. I thought it was a gazebo.
Gazebo. That's what it was. He was in a gazebo, and the police... pulled up on the
and like hopped out and start
got out of the car and immediately
Tamir
shot
Tamir Rice
that's his name
Tamir
Rice. That was from Ohio
Cleveland
when the kid had the gun. Well, first of all, that scene was so intense. It was like the father, who's gonna, I don't know, somebody about to die, the father was there, you had Anthony Mackie, who's the King Lord, and
his goon.
They were about to pull a gun, and then the kid had the gun, which is already an intense situation. And then literally the moment the like lights flashed, I started crying.
Oh, bro.
Because I was like, I can't. I literally said out loud, I start crying. I literally said, I can't. I said, don't. Oh, I said, don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I think other people gasped, and they were like, and I think I heard other people audibly say no.
The second the kid had the gun, Kat screamed no.
Yeah.
But like, for real, that kid didn't even have to have that gun.
No,
and the thing is, when you look at those two cops having those guns trained on that kid, it's
right.
It like,
and that was the thug life, right? That was the like the full circle, and was it just maybe a tiny bit forced? Sure, but it was so earned. Mm-hmm. It was so earned in that moment that I was just like, and this is it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the dramatization of the whole thing, mm-hmm. culminating in this one moment.
It was like, and it's the author was like, that's not in the book, but she called her publicist after and was like, can I change it? Can I put this in there? They were like, no. but she
it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's brilliant moment.
Yeah,
That was a powerful moment. I mean, Amanda
so
LeMay,
powerful.
Amanda
and then her standing in front of her brother, little brother, I was like,
Amanda was giving you moments this whole time.
Yeah.
Real quickly,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say it off break. I didn't like the white savior dude. I get him. I know you need an ally, but I was like, I wasn't for it.
Real quick, I'll say this is my defense for it. He didn't save anybody. The whole point was he was being taught how to be an ally, and I liked that because,
okay.
like we said, we need allies. So literally, the moment at the end is so we have.
You
it's
have
a
changed
little awkward,
my mind with that one statement.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? At the moment at the end, during the protests, he's like, I'm gonna, no, I have to, he literally says like, I have to stay here to protect you. And she's like, I'm not leaving. Like, you don't need to be here. If you're asking me for help, what you can do is take them home. That's the thing that I'm asking you to do.
Yeah,
and then he was like, okay. And I was like, thank you. That's what it's like, hey, how can I help? And I say, tell you what you do and you just do that. Don't add your extra. Don't add anything extra. I don't need it. I don't need you to say, I'm sorry. I don't need you to, be, you know, and he had that weird moment in the limo because he was like trying to say like, I don't see color. Like he said all that stuff.
Yeah,
but she, oh my God. When she,
I was like, wait. I thought that we were going to leave this character after that. Like, you know,
right.
I
love
like,
how she handled it.
But yeah, she's like, I don't see color. And her line back was, then you don't see me. I was like, woo!
Yeah, the whole movie was great.
It's like, oh snap.
The movie was great.
What a comeback.
Yeah,
that was great, and it was like awkward and weird, but it's like that's what happens. Like those awkward conversations happen. I appreciate it. I know some people are always gonna feel weird about it. They had the little moment of like she's got a white boyfriend, all that stuff, but it was like great.
Yeah, do y'all want to skip to the calls?
To the what?
To the calls.
Oh yeah, do you have anything you want to say?
I mean, I do. I mean, my thing about Hollywood is I love hearing the hope in the two of you men right now. I really do. But something about it just doesn't, something about this movie doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And it's not based on the movie. It's because I think this movie, like Amanda Lee's performance, I think people think that it's easy for someone of color to portray characters like this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think for people to be like, oh, well, it's, you know, that's not hard. And not looking at her eyes the whole movie. And I mean, like, at no point did anyone look at Timothy and be like, yo, you know, maybe he's close to this character. You know, maybe he's like a little French kid. Ain't nobody say that shit. But I'm pretty sure someone's going to assume she's like this character.
Right.
Yeah. Which is tough. And it's for me, for Hollywood, it's just show the movie respect. Show the movie that it deserves to have a chance to grow and honestly, award that girl.
Yeah.
To me, straight up, that girl needs to be awarded. If you're going to put this little boy in anything, if you're going to put him in anything, that girl needs to be awarded.
100%. It will actually be... It probably won't happen because it's this genre of films they like completely ignore, but they need to nominate this woman for an Oscar for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, time for the calls.
Yeah,
I like that you don't do bits anymore.
I love
bits are
it.
Gone.
Let's do it. Let's do the calls. Let's do the calls.
We rate and review films not based on how much we like them or how well we think they were made, but whether or not they helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we think it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist.
That's true.
If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm.
That's facts as well.
And if we say, man, I don't think this helped the cause at all, I'm sorry. We don't give it anything.
That's right.
Okay, so on the count of three, we're going to throw up our ratings.
I ain't even waiting because I love it.
Okay, but I'm just going to count to three anyway.
All right, fine.
Okay, so one, two, and he did wait. Three.
I mean, I had to.
He waited until three.
You had to get this movie a black fist.
I thought he was
going to
do it before it, but.
You had to get this movie a black fist because it was so great and it was the best thing ever. To me, it's like this movie deserves all the respect it can get. And also, it deserves a moment to shine. And Amanda, I hope she gets more things, but I also think she needs to be acknowledged for the perfection that she was in this movie.
Yep. So, three black fists. You can follow us, guys. Oh, go see this movie. Please do. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. If you are in New York, come on out to Astronomy Club shows. We're every Monday, 9 p.m. at UCB East Village, doing some improv. Let's talk about race, baby. Except for the third Monday of the month, but that's not this one. So come on out. And you can follow me personally at John Braylock, JONBRAYLOCK, Twitter and Instagram. What you guys got?
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
I have Twitter. Follow me at Draw Milligan.
Great. And if you rate and review us on iTunes, if you rate and review us on iTunes, we will read your review on the air if you give us 5 stars. This one is by Sandy Yeeks. 3 black fist emojis. I was introduced to this podcast by my brother in 2016 and have been an avid fan since. Thank you. Shout out to your brother. This podcast is a must listen for anybody with critical thinking skills and a sense of humor. All working young black actors, John, Jeron, and James, bring a fresh perspective. Wow. We're trying to work. We're working. Shut up, James. They bring a fresh perspective of comedy and critiques as it relates to the progress or lack thereof of race and leading actors of color in film. Man, we should put this review on our website. This is really well written. Yeah. The guests that they bring on are amazing and inclusive. Shout out to Tessa. Wow, I'm going to tell Tessa she got a shout out.
Okay.
They make sure when possible to bring in folks to join the discussions of films centering different identities and perspectives than theirs. A favorite episode was the one for John Q. Though it was a rather frustrating experience for John, sharing his trials with the modern healthcare system, and the ensuing film discussion demonstrates their ability to provide thoughtful context and analysis, especially as it relates to current events. Understand, though, that this is not a political podcast. Keep up the good work, gentlemen, and if you're a potential listener, go subscribe now. You won't regret it. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
That was the best review we've ever gotten.
Thank you.
I mean, just in terms of how it was written and everything.
Oh, I think we paid for that review. I don't know who it was.
Yeah,
I will send you
honestly,
some money for that.
I couldn't have written a better review.
I will send you money for that one.
All right. Next week, do we know what we're reviewing?
I don't know. Something fucking happy. Because shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Are we going to do a horror movie? That's not happy.
Yeah, we can do a happy horror movie.
What's a happy horror movie?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
What's the one with Eddie
Murphy? We can do a Haunted Mansion. Oh my God. Are we really going to do it?
I guess so.
Let's do it.
Haunted Mansion.
Oh, shit. We just agreed.
Can we do Hocus
right.
Pocus?
Nope.
Does that count?
A Haunted Mansion. Next week. We'll see you.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!